scripture in the scene, it comes from Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. If ye be then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ strengthens on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Good evening, everyone. Good to see everybody can come out there tonight. We're starting to get into that depressing time of the year. The sun's setting by 5:20 or so. I think it's going to be a little bit after 5 pretty soon. You know, so. But then you get the cloudy day and stuff too. So that's glad to see everybody coming on out here and stuff. So it only lasts for a few weeks. We'll be back up here again here soon and stuff. So also, Angie was another thing that happened to Angie. She was depressed too because one of her cousins was out deer hunting yesterday and had a heart attack and passed away. So I don't know all of the particulars on that, but it's up north, I think, from where I'm at there. So yeah, just keep Angie in her prayers there. She's taking these kind of hard there and stuff. So if you could stay in Colossians, the third chapter. And the question for this evening is, have you guys killed anybody lately? Kind of hoping that you have on that thing. Not that there's anything to do with the Halloween stuff. But look at there in Colossians 3 and in verse 5, it says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Yeah. So it's sort of putting these members together, sort of like you're a serial killer. A lot of these things we're supposed to have. So Paul is speaking, though, about killing off those sinful ways that used to dominate our lives before we became a Christian. The sinful dominated way in us, in our old sinful self there before we became Christians. You look in verse 9, it's saying about you put off that the old man with his deeds. You know, when we become a Christian, we bury that old man in death. We're dead to sin. We're buried and we're rose up to walk in newness of life. We become a new person there. You know, so when Paul is writing this letter to Colossians, he's writing to a church. He's writing to people that have already been baptized, have already obeyed the gospel. And yet, there looks like there's some killing still to be done in these people and stuff. It's an ongoing practice there. And Paul's going to show us through the next few verses here something that's going to help us get away with murder here. And really, he's going to show us how to change our focus so that we can do this thing. And this is what Jesus has always preached to his disciples. If we go there into the book of Matthew, I talked of Matthew, the sixth chapter, in the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 6 of Matthew, he's talking about being anxious. He says, verse 31 of chapter 6, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? And what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you there. So he's saying, don't be anxious, but seek first the kingdom here. And he's going, so if we're going to be different, if we're going to live our lives differently, we're going to have to adapt our focus on how we look at the world and stuff around us in this. So, you know, we got to take the focus off of ourselves and start focusing on God. You know, we got to change our focus there. So there's two ways that this changing of the focus is going to help us. One is seeing things is going to help us see the end here and stuff. And a lot of times decisions we make are kind of at the here and now on our level here and stuff. Like, you know, we're not thinking long term a lot of times when we're like, especially if we're young, what's kind of going on here. And that's why some people never save any money. You know, you get up there, you ask the person, you got some money. You want to put it in the bank? You want to invest it? Or you want to go out and buy a pizza? You know, a lot of people go like, well, can I buy two pizzas? Because they got an awful lot of money. They're, you know, and that's the decision they make. Because all they're looking at is what's going on in this kind of environment right now and stuff there. So, you know, so we're just doing things in the day-to-day moment there. That we saw that with Esau, where he makes a stupid decision based on one meal, one day, and not looking long-term at all, that he has this blessing, but he thinks that he's going to starve, so let me buy this bowl of soup and forfeit my birthright here and stuff. So if we look at the end, we're looking at the end, long range, we can be a lot more deliberate in our decision-making process, more thoughtful in our decisions. If I'm really looking long-term, and my long-term is not retirement, my long-term is getting to heaven. My goal is to get to heaven, being with my God. Then all of my decisions then are going to be based on achieving that goal. And two, if we're seeking those things which are above, that's Colossians 3:1. If we're be raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. We're seeking those. And if we're seeking those things for above, it puts the things down here below into perspective for us there. So Jesus is saying in Matthew 6 that the concerns here on earth, they're just temporary. They don't last here. The good things that we try to work for all the time here on earth, they just don't last that long. We eat and we get hungry again. We drink and we get thirsty again. You know, we believe, you know, we know from 2 Peter 3 about the ending of the world and the destruction of the world. We know that's coming. But we can also see examples of that here on earth. You know, you go out there and into the old country, into Europe and Asia and that in the Middle East, and you see all of these ruins of all of these civilizations, all the monuments they made, all the houses they made and stuff. And you really think about that as like, how many man hours went into building those things? You know, you look at this stuff, the pyramids and that, and everything's just crumbling down and falling apart there. It just doesn't last at all. So what I want, if I'm looking above, I want, and what I need, is something that's going to last. And the glory that comes from living a life that's Christ-centered. So we want to do something then that's different there in our lives here and stuff, instead of the here and now and stuff. So Colossians 3:5 then tells us to put to death these things that are earthly. And he gives us a little list that starts off with there. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, he says, so he's looking at, and then he continues on here with these things. In verse 6, he says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these, anger, wrath and malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all there. So Paul's showing us all of these things that we need to put off. And he mentions here in verse 7, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived with him. We used to practice these kind of sins before we became a Christian there. And that was the thing that drove us here. And the reason was is because of our focus, how what we were looking at. And if my main concern in my life is right here in this life, then I can justify any one of these sins that's mentioned here. You know, you got something that I want. Well, I'm allowed to steal it from you then, because it's this here and now is all I'm interested in. I'm getting kind of lonely, so I can have an affair with somebody if I want to do that. All I'm thinking about is this life. But when my focus is on that which is above, then I can't act that way. I got to put these things out of my life that's what's going to prevent me from reaching that goal here. I got to put them to death. And I know this is kind of hard to do because you know, me and sin has gone back a long way, and you got those kind of habits there. We look at that there. So we look at there, like in 1 John, the second chapter, 1 John 2 and verse 1, John understands that we have problems with this, and we got habits that we got to deal with here. And he starts off in verse 1 of chapter 2. He says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." He does not want us sinning. You always see these people kind of go, "Yeah, Jesus died for me, and he's very understanding, so I can just float around life, and he'll cover me with his blood." No, John is saying, no, don't be sinning. You can't be sinning. And he says, "And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." So we don't do these things perfectly, but we got an advocate with Jesus there. But we still need to be maintaining that effort to lead a sinless life there. We got to keep these sins out of our life. You ever think about during Lent? And people, Lent started in the 4th century by Catholics as a way to remember what Jesus has given up. And denominations pick it up too during Lent, where they people give up something there. So usually they're giving up chocolate or soda or something that you love, you want to be giving up there and stuff. Besides this not really being biblical, it misses the point. We're already supposed to be giving up something that we love, and that's sin. And we do love sin, but we're supposed to be giving that up. And not just for the 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter. We're supposed to be putting these things to death. We're not supposed to go back to these things at all, because we've got a newfound focus, and we're focusing on those things from above. So Paul is saying to put these things out of our lives. You got to put these things to death there. And then we got to put on the new self, and that's Colossians 3:10. You got to put on the new man. Because we focus on above, we're a new man. And this is the thing. You find that in the way our personalities are, you take something away, whatever it is, no matter how bad it is, you leave a hole in that personality, in that body, when you take that stuff out. So then you've got to replace it with something else. Jesus talks about the man who is possessed by a devil, and they clear the devil out, and then 10 more devils come because he's got it nice and swept and ready to go. So he hasn't replaced it with anything. There's nobody occupying that space. So the others, it gets worse than to begin with. So you always see that. You have to replace it with something else instead. So when we're looking at that, if we're putting on a new man, then those old party lines here, like in verse 11, don't count anymore. There's neither Greek nor Jew. There's neither circumcised or uncircumcised. There's neither barbarian or Scythian, slave or free. There's not into tribal stuff where I'm going to just like people of my same race, or I'm going to like people that like Ohio State and everybody else is an enemy, or I'm not going to like rich people, or I'm not going to like poor people, or that kind of thing. He's saying that you're the new man. There isn't any, we're all the same. You don't do that stuff anymore. We don't have these old party lines, don't count anymore. So I see somebody not as an enemy anymore, but as my brother. And if I'm seeing them as my brother, then I don't want to sin against them. There's no races, there's no sexes, there's no politics, but that everyone is more important than me. And that's Philippians 2, to consider everybody more important than me. So how am I going to be acting then? Well, in verses 12 through 14, we see, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." So what I'm going to do then, getting rid of all that sinful characteristics, I'm going to start putting on like mercy and kindness and humbleness and meekness and patience and forgiveness and love. And we look at verse 15 here. Things that we have to put into us here. We're getting rid of the old junk and we're putting to put in the new stuff. Verse 15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." You know, so he starts out with this thing to remind us, like, to remind the Colossians, and he reminds us of who we belong to. We belong to Christ. That's verse 11. But Christ is all and in all. We belong to Christ there. So I can't act this way anymore. I can't act this way because of who I belong to. You know, Jesus, when we talked about this morning, Jesus in Matthew 5:14 said, "Let your light shine before men so people see that you're different." People see that you're different. They might even ask you why you're different, because you're doing things in a different way. So remembering who we are, Paul tells us to serve our brethren. So how do we serve them? You know, put on these tender mercies, kindness, and being humble and meek and patient and forgiving and loving. You know, we can do these things because this is the way God has dealt with us. And I don't deserve these things, but God has given them to me anyway. And if I want this from God, then I should want it for my brothers and sisters as well. And this works well in all of our relationships that we have. You want to have a better relationship with your spouse? You got to be kind, and you got to be humble and meek and patient and forgiving and loving. You want to have a better relationship with your kids? You got to be kind, and you got to be humble and meek and patient, forgiving and loving. Or at work, how you're dealing with people at work and stuff. The same thing, being kind and humble and meek and patient and forgiving and loving. And we know this is what Paul wants, because he mentions this here in verse 18, and he takes it all the way through to chapter 4, verse 1. He talks about husbands and wives. He talks about parents and children, and he talks about masters and servants. So if I do these things that Paul is telling me to put in, then I'm going to have a better marriage. I'm going to have a better family. I'm going to enjoy my job. I'm going to have a nice world around me, how I'm treating everybody. And especially, we're going to have a really good church when we're treating everybody this way. So we're looking at this. And another important part we need to put on, in verse 15, it says, "Let the peace of God rule in us there." Jesus says in Matthew 5:9, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called sons of God." And this is talking about those who will bring peace between God and man. But he would want us to bring peace between each other as well there. So, you know, Romans 12:18, it says, "As much as in you, live peaceably with all men." That's our number one goal. We don't start anything. We're trying to live peaceably with everybody there. And in every letter, I didn't realize this because I stole this lesson, he says, every letter that Paul wrote, he would always include the grace and peace of God be upon you. He wished people the peace, grace and peace of God over and over. So we need grace and we need peace there. You know, then Galatians 3:16, we got to let the word of God dwell in us there as well. He says, "Dwell in you richly." Ephesians 5:18, he says, you need to be filled with the Spirit. But we look at that. We need to be filled with God's Spirit. And here we got to have the Word of God dwell in us. So he's not talking about some spirit taking us over. He's talking about us living by the Word. So there's two things we need to, two things that come up on us. We need to know the Word, and we need to have that Word dwell in us. You know, we got to be controlled by what the Word says. We need to obey what the Word is saying. And this is not just memorizing a bunch of passages that you got it down and you can just blurt it all out, give a whole chapter and stuff, but you don't follow any of it, then that word's not dwelling in you and stuff. It's not just memorizing. You got to meditate on it all the time. thinking about it. And how do I need to act? Am I acting correctly according to this verse? Or do I need to change what I'm doing? I need to make these verses part of me and to getting to know this. Then we look at that in Colossians 3:16. Teaching and admonishing one another is the kind of the key part of that verse there in 3:16. We need to be teaching and admonishing one another. Now we like to use this verse to explain why I am not playing bagpipes for you guys now in this service here about musical instruments, but it's much more. It's a way of teaching others. It's a way of admonishing us, and it's a way of lifting us up spiritually. So singing with grace in our hearts. Grace, which means thankfulness about this. Singing with the Spirit and singing with the understanding. That's 1 Corinthians 14:15. And then finally, in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's, again, what that in the name of means, by the authority of Jesus. Everything that we do should be by authority from Christ there. What Christ has allowed us to be doing, the things that we need to do to follow Christ, to do His will, to act within the confines of what Christ wants us to be doing there. So a conclusion on this here. Paul's telling these Colossians they need to change their focus. And they need to, this new focus is going to change their priorities so that they can, it's going to cause them to put to death all these old sinful characteristics that they used to have here. Changing it, that they were only interested in themselves. They were just selfish in the way they want to do things in their own self-interest. And this new focus then is going to cause them to put on a new self, one that has compassion and kindness and patience and forgiveness and love. But this message, again, we could kind of tell, it's not just for the Colossians, it's for us. It's for every Christian there on that. It's for all of us who have decided they want to belong to Christ there. Now, we know the new person begins at baptism, but even though we've tried to bury that old man, it's like a terrible movie there with the you keep rising like a zombie movie where the dead thing just keeps rising up. We got to put that thing to death constantly. So keep it from rising from the dead and to kill it again. And that we find that in 1 John 1:7. It says, if you walk in the light, as He is in the light, you have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sins. If we fall and trip up, get back up, and you'll kill that old man that's trying to rear his ugly head again. So that's the lesson for tonight. Thank you for your attention. We give you this opportunity now for anyone who needs that to make things right with the Lord, or maybe you just need some prayers and some way that we can assist you that we don't know about, any way that we can do that, let us know while you come forward, and we'll stand and sing our song of invitation.